Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mokoshe bakanene keshe karididio koshe. Father, you are mighty. You are great. You're the Almighty King. You're the Almighty God. You're the Almighty Father. Nobody greater than you, Lord. We're dependent on you, God. We're dependent on you, Lord Jesus. We refuse to depend on ourselves anymore. We refuse to depend on ourselves anymore. We are casting our every care upon you because you care for us in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, you are holy. You are great. Oh, Father, we appreciate you today. We bless you today, oh God. Oh, Father, we adore you. We bless you. We praise your name. We honor you because you are King and you are Lord. You are Father and you are Shepherd. No God like you, Jehovah. No God like you. No God like you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we quench the shield. We quench with the shield of faith every fiery dart the enemy sends our way. Oh, my God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we quench every fiery dart of jealousy, envy, anger, bitterness, and rage sent against our lives in the name of Jesus. We quench every fire ban sent against our lives by the enemy in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke all spirits of jealousy directed against our lives in the name of Jesus. We quench every fire the enemy would throw into our sanctuary in the name of Jesus. We bind and cast out every serpent sent against our lives in the name of Jesus. We quench every burning lamp that comes from Leviathan's mouth in Jesus' name. We will not be burned by the fire of the enemy. We overcome every fiery trial sent against our lives by the enemy in Jesus' name. And we thank you today, oh God. The enemy will not be able to burn up our harvest. We quench every fire of the wicked sin against us in the name of Jesus. We quench all ungodly spoken words against our lives in the name of Jesus. We quench every torch the enemy would use against our lives in the name of Jesus. We quench all gossip directed against our lives in the name of Jesus. The enemy's flames will not kindle upon us in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are bound. The blood of Jesus is against you. Oh, Father, we appreciate you. We come to honor you today because truly you are God. Truly you are King. And there's no God like you, Jehovah. All honor, all praise, all glory to you. You are the Almighty God. You are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. What do you need tonight? If you need provisions, call on Jehovah Jireh. He is a great and a mighty provider. He will provide everything that you need according to his riches in glory. Obedience is the key. Jehovah Nisi. You are a banner over us. It's love. Oh, Father, I thank you for that great love you have for us, oh, God. You gave your only child, Jesus, to come down from his throne in heaven and to be spit upon, to be talked about, to be murdered in the name of Jesus, to be betrayed. And I thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to leave your home in heaven and come down as a man and experience life on earth. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you are, Jesus. You gave your only life so that we could have life. We call upon Jehovah Shalom, our peacemaker. What do you need? Do you need peace tonight? Jesus is a peacemaker in the midst of every storm. If you're going through storms, fiery trials, Jesus is a peacemaker. He's able to make peace on the job. He's able to make peace in your home. He's able to make peace in your mind. What do you need tonight? Jehovah is able. He's able. He said that I am, that I am, that I am, that I am. Set me. And so I thank you tonight that I am. He is whatever we need in the name of Jesus. He's our peacemaker, our banner, our provider. You know also he's our healer. He's Jehovah, oh, a mighty healer, Jehovah Rapha. If your body aches and wrench with pain, you could call on Jehovah Rapha because he's a healer in the name of Jesus. He'll heal even from sorrows, even when you're downcast. He know how to heal from all emotional wounds, spiritual wounds, physical wounds. He's able. He's a healer. He said, don't be cast down, O your soul. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who's the health of my God and my countenance and the help of my God in the name of Jesus. Do you need help tonight? Call on Jehovah Shalom. He's able to help you in every situation. He's able to make peace in your home, peace on the job, peace in your neighborhood, peace with your family, peace with your friends. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask, think, or imagine of him. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. Ain't nobody like our Jehovah. Call on him today. What you need, what you need, what you need. Call on him. He's able. He's able tonight. He's able to do what you need done in the name of Jesus. Call on him in the morning time. He's there for you. He's always present. He's omnipresent. Call on him in the noontime. He's always there. Call on him in the evening. He's always there. Always. He said he'd never leave us. He won't ever forsake us. He's always present with us. In the name of Jesus. You know he said in his word in Psalms 44, we have heard with our ears, oh God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art our king, O God. Command deliverances for us. We are your children, O God. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For we will not trust in our own bow, neither shall our sword save us. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise his name forever. Selah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love his word. He honor, oh, my kind of name, Jehovah honors his word above his name, his word is able to set us free. His word, his love letters to us, is able to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. Keep on living. Keep on having life situations. And watch the mighty hand of God. Expect great things for him. Even this evening, expect the mighty hand of God to move by his spirit. His high right hand, his strong arm, his mighty hand is on us, his children. And he's able to do more than we can even think or imagine, more than we can even begin to think about. He is a great God. Can you imagine the one who put the stars in the sky, had them shine just the right time, the one who put the moon in the sky and had it shine at the nighttime so we wouldn't have darkness upon the earth, the one who put the sun in the daytime and said, in the name of Jesus, he's the one who said, let there be light. And you know what? Light came forth at his spoken word. You know, the word tells us that he's a majestic God. Even his voice is majestic. So let's pray today and thank God for his goodness. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you tonight that you are good God, that you are an awesome God. And it's nobody like you, Jehovah. Nobody like you. We can trust in you, oh God. We can't trust in ourselves, oh God. But I thank you that we can trust in you tonight, oh God. And Father, we come before you, not seeking your hand, but we're seeking your face as we dwell tonight in your holy presence, oh God. Oh Father, I thank you that you are right here with each one of us, oh God. Oh, boys to men and girls to ladies, you promise that you never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you that you are not a man. You don't lie. You are the essence of truth. It's no lie in you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you are holy God. You are righteous God. And you're requiring holiness of us in this hour, oh God. So, Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we kill the flesh. We lay our flesh down in the name of Jesus. And we say, Father God, that we honor you, the Most High God. Excuse me. We thank you for your holy presence, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your presence, there's healing. In your presence, there's strength. Whatever we need, what do you need tonight? It's in your presence, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you for creating the whole earth and owning everything in it, oh God. We thank you for creating human beings, oh God, to give you all the glory, to give you all the praise, to give you all the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. We, Father God, we repent because we are unrighteous people, oh God. Sometimes we're rebellious. In the name of Jesus, forgive us. You said, who can know our errors? We don't know the error of our ways. But, Lord, we repent for transgressions, every sin that we commit against you. We repent, oh God, for thoughts that's not like you, for actions we do that's not like you. Forgive us, oh Father God. Cleanse us of all righteousness, oh God. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, oh God. King, and we thank you tonight, oh God, for your goodness and your mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. And Father, you're so awesome. You give us brand new mercy every day. It ain't left over from yesterday, but it's brand new every day. And we say thank you to the Most High God. Thank you, Almighty, that you look upon us as human beings, oh God, and you keep us in the palm of your almighty hand. You stretch out your hand in the name of Jesus, even when we were in trouble, and you snatch us out the fire. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, the way is made. Walk ye in it. So, Father God, as we walk in the way, oh God, I thank you that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the light in Jesus' name. And there's no unrighteousness in you. I thank you for removing unrighteousness from us, from our thoughts. And I thank you, oh God, today that we could call on your name, oh God. And we can have peace of mind. Peace of mind, no matter what's going on around us. We can have peace of mind, Jehovah Shalom. You are a great peacemaker, oh God. And we thank you, Father God, for the peace that passes all human understanding when we're going through situations like Job and people can't understand. And we have people saying to us, well, why don't you just give up? But we say, no, the Most High God, don't give up. We're not going to give up when we are back against the wall. We're going to cry out to the Most High God. You said if we cried unto you, even our enemies will turn back. So, Father God, turn every enemy back. I thank you that we are fully armored, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we have worn the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girt about with your truth, oh God, the belt of truth. I thank you that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I thank you that in our hand is the sword of the Spirit, and we have the shield of faith in our hand, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are a rear guard, oh God. In the name of Jesus, that you watch over us even in battle, even when we sleep, even when we're up, even when we're in heavy traffic, you watching over us. You're making sure the enemy doesn't come and take us out. You're making sure that we're safe. You are a great protector. And as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we abide under your shadow, Almighty. We say of you, Lord, you are a refuge. You are a fortress. Oh, Father, we trust in you as never before. The way things are going in the world, terrorist acts against people, oh, God, murder in the land. But, Father, we don't have nobody to trust in but you. The police are limited, oh, God. They can only take care of so many people. But, Lord, you can take care of the whole earth in Jesus' name. And I thank you, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, you know we had the election recently. And our president, President Obama, is still in office. Oh, God, that he was learning those first 4 years. But, Lord, I thank you that he's learned in the first 4 years to bend the knee, to trust in you as never before. I thank you, oh, God, that before his feet hit the floor, that he would say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, realizing that you are the one who created him in your mighty image. You are the one who gives him breath every day. You are the one who makes sure he's protected and arrive home safely every day, arrive to his destination safely. So, Father God, I lift up our President Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama, and their children and extended families. And I say, Lord, protect, oh God. Lord, protect, Father God. Keep that shield around him, Father God. Surround him with wise counsel, oh God. Men and women of integrity. Men and women of integrity who place your agenda in the name of Jesus and the good of America, our nation, oh God, above their own, and whose motives are for that which is right. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will give our leaders discernment, oh God. Give President Obama great discernment, understanding, and knowledge so that our nation may know stability internally and abroad. In Jesus' name, I thank you for staying the hand of the enemy from America, oh God. I thank you for your high right hand of protection all over America, Father God, in the east, in the west, in the north, and in the south. Every city, every state in the nation is covered in the name of Jesus by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for our president in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, oh God, for covering him, oh God. Work in his life daily, Father God, and let him know that it's you who put him in office again, oh God, in Jesus' name, that he didn't put himself there, oh God, because of your mercy, oh God. We lift up Congress, oh God, and all those in the House of Representatives, oh God, in the Senate, in the Congress, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that those in authority, in the name of Jesus, would make laws that are just, oh God, In the name of Jesus, they would not depress or suppress or oppress your people. Father, we ask you to give them wisdom to make the right decisions and that you would strengthen Ekaterinia and prosper our nation, O God. We thank you tonight, O God. In the name of Jesus, we desire that you would make that they would make right decisions concerning the politics and the social welfare and the economics of our nation, O God. Father, we desire gas prices to go down, food prices to go down. Places where we shop, give us favor, O God. In the name of Jesus, taxes to go down in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your economy, O God. We will not trust in chariots or horses, but we will trust in your economy, Father God. We know even more, Father God, that you are Lord over our nation, O God. We pray for our nation's economy today, O God. We pray, Father God, that you would rise up, people of skill and wisdom who affect the economy of our nation. Give them inspired ideas and a voice with the powers that be, O God. Cause Congress to vote aright in these matters, O God. Give them foresight so that the quarter of the Akashe provision might be made for our nation's future, not just its present, O God. In the name of Jesus, and Father, as the people of our nation continue to finance the preaching of the gospel and help the poor of the world, I pray that you will continue to prosper us more and more and more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, welcome again to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I'm your host, Caritha Gantlin, also known as Sister G. And we are grateful for you joining us. Yes, we're talking about you and you too. And you too, just in case you think that we're leaving you out. We're not excluding you. You're included too. So we are grateful. You know, today we're talking about peer pressure and godly influence. You know, as children, we've all had peer pressure. And we've all had pretty much godly influence. So one of those roads can lead to destruction, and the other can lead to God. So, you know, when we make godly choices, we get closer with God. But when we make peer pressure influences, that's only a temporary fix, and it leads to destruction. The path, we're looking for the path that leads to eternal life, not just a temporary fix. Do you bend under pressure? You know, your parents and our parents taught us the right way, the godly way. But your friends say you're older now and you don't have to listen to your parents. Even as adults, sometimes your friends will say that. You don't have to listen to your pastors and the fivefold ministry. You can do what you want. You're grown. But you know what? What kind of influences are those? What choices are you making? Are you making choices that's going to keep you on the eternal path? The path of righteousness. You know, sometimes your friends may say to you, you know, that's old school. We're a new generation. Oh, yeah. But guess what? Even when you look back old school in the Bible, those are examples. And our parents are examples to us today. So, you know, it behooves us to listen to the right voices. You know what's right. But, you know, sometimes as young people, we want to fit in. So you do what your friends say. But guess what? Later on, you regret not listening to your parents. Even as adults, when we look back, this happened to us. You know, we listened to our friends, and that got us in trouble. Sometimes we got a spanking. Sometimes we got punishment. But whatever we got, we regret. Sometimes it tortured our minds. Oh, why did I do that? I should have listened to my parents. Sometimes it has caused young people their lives when their parents say, don't leave home. Make sure you stay home. And they left, and they never returned again. So you want to obey your parents because this is the right thing to do. When you obey your parents, you know, I didn't say your parents were perfect. No, because you're not perfect. You're human like them. But when you obey your parents, God said he'll extend your life. He'll give you long lives. And don't you know God is a God of truth? You know, we have to do the right thing. Listen to our parents. You know, hopefully we can testify of 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Or when I became a woman, I put away childish things. After maturing, not just being grown, you know, some grown people act like six-year-olds. They pout. They want to have their way. They selfish. They have all of those little fleshly things still going on. So I'm talking about maturing, growing up in God, being grown. We came to the realization that we did not want to choose childish behavior anymore. We choose carefully what we do and where we go. We decided that God gave us the right parents and decided to listen to those parents because God never make a mistake. Those parents can give us wise counsel. Well, you know, sometimes our birth parents aren't always our spiritual parents. So sometimes God put godly people in your life. Maybe your parents don't, you know, confess to know the Lord. And so sometimes God will just put godly parents in your life. You know, because he knows what he has on the inside of you has to be brought out. And sometimes it will take a godly parent to bring those things out. Won't always be your parents that you birthed with. Our parents are wise and have had some experiences that will help us in what we're going through now. So now I want you to know that there are some wise young people who God's spirit are on the inside of them. Our Bible character today was wise and full of the Spirit of God. And so were his friends. So get your Bibles ready. So if I call on you, you can read this story that I'm talking about. So be ready. Get those Bibles. You know, I don't think you have this chapter memorized. You could, though. Get those Bibles ready. Our Bible character today is full of the Spirit of God. And so were his friends. They lived in an ungodly nation. They worshiped idol gods. But Daniel, you know his name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to follow the ways of the people of that nation. They refused it. Daniel was, you know, he had outstanding qualities. Daniel had outstanding qualities. He had excellent character. He displayed character by refusing to do the wrong thing even before kings. And you know what? He was competent. Kings offered to pay him for his ability to interpret dreams. He had conviction. He refused to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. You know, our children need conviction today. You know, when they're in this world, going in the world, going places, going to school, they need conviction not to go in the bathroom and smoke pot. They need conviction not to leave the school campus before school is out, to go out and to do it, all kinds of things that they shouldn't do. Daniel had courage. He faces the lion's den without flinching. You know, he had charisma. He was so winsome that royalty wanted to pay him to play key roles in the government. Commitment. He was very committed. He remained committed to his God. Even though they were serving idol gods all around him, he refused to serve those gods. He served his God, the God that I serve, the God that hopefully you serve, the mighty God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah El Elyon. You know, that's the God he served. And Daniel was compassionate. He never lost his love for others. Even in the enemy culture, he loved people. And you know, Daniel stands up to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he requested that he and his friends be allowed to eat something other than what fills the plate. You know, he didn't eat from, like today we would call, you know, McDonald's. He didn't eat fast food. You know, he didn't eat from Burger King, have it your way. And, you know, parents at that time, they cooked one meal. Whatever was available, the whole family ate it. They cooked one meal for the son, one meal for the daughter, one meal for the grandchildren. Everybody ate the same meal. Everybody. You know, he didn't negotiate terms and end up stronger and healthier for his, he negotiated terms, I'm sorry, and he ended up stronger and healthier because of his decision. You know, when our children eat fruit and vegetables, you know, blackberries, blueberries, redberries, strawberries, all kind of raspberries and pineapples and apples and bananas and peaches and plums, rather than the junk stuff. You know, they get healthier. Their skin look better when they drink plenty of water. You know, Daniel refused to drink the king's wine. He ate plenty of healthy food, pulse it's called, and he drank plenty of water. Water, water, water. Water will make your skin smooth. That H2O, water, drink it. Just drink lots of it every day. Drink, 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 drink. Every day, just force yourself. Clean the kidneys out. Clean out the internal organs by drinking healthy water every day. That water is made to cleanse our system, to keep our kidneys purified, our liver and every lung, heart, and blood vessels pumping good. Oh, you know, we're made up of mostly water, not cold drinks. We're not made up of cold drinks. We're not made up of wine. We ain't made up of beer. We ain't made up of alcohol. Mostly water is what we're made up. So we put more water back into us. That's so we won't get dehydrated. You know what? We'll be walking around wondering what's going on, why I feel like this, and running to the doctor. Jesus is the great physician. One time I wasn't feeling well, and I kept saying, Lord, what's the matter with me? Why, I'm not feeling well. I didn't go ask the doctor. I asked the doctor of the doctors, Jesus, Lord, what's the matter with me today? Sometimes I wasn't drinking enough water. You know, sometimes if I got thirsty, I needed more water. Sometimes I needed some, you know, sweet stuff like a banana or an apple or an orange or a tangerine. They got plenty of fruit. Pineapples are so fresh. When I was growing up, I didn't like pineapples. You know why? Because we ate cut canned pineapple. I don't remember eating fresh pineapple till I was grown. But God made the best of the best. He made broccoli and kale, all the seeds of the earth. He made cabbage, carrots, sweet potatoes, everything that's good and healthy for us. Corn and beans, rice, potatoes, all of those good things that are good for vegetables, lots of vegetables. So learn to eat healthy and teach your children to eat healthy. Well, you know, Daniel chose to eat God's diet, and he was healthier and stronger than his friends. You know what? This caught the attention of the Babylonian officials, and Daniel became a man of influence, even as a youth. Do your children have influence? Do, you know, the teachers call on them to do great things in the school? Or are they on, you know, some of the boards at the school where they attend? Are they asked, you know, how did you get that wisdom? So, you know, Daniel interpreted dreams for, you know, king. He demonstrated commitment to his faith more than any of the other young men that were with him. You know, Daniel, he left a legacy for, you know, for us. He was unusual. Now, you know, a lot of times our kids want to blend in. I know I used to want to blend in, but my mother taught me, she said, let me tell you something. You go to the store by yourself. Some of those people you hang with, they could be stealing. This could be happening. That could be happening. You don't even know it. So go by yourself. Sometimes it's best to teach your children, be by yourself. And you'll know. They'll know what's happening. Teach them discernment. See, watch around you. Don't be walking down the street holding the cell phone in your hand, talking on the cell phone. What's going on around you? What's going on to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you? Pay attention. And even as adults, we shouldn't be going around with a cell phone everywhere we go, stuck on you. You know what? When you got that cell phone in your ear all the time, we can't hear the voice of God. We need to shut them down and get in the secret place and hear the voice of God. You know what? Our parents will, you know, need to, you know, parents need to teach your children how to pay attention to what's going on around them. It'll save their lives. Don't keep the cell phones, the iPods. You know, I was walking in the park one day, and I passed this lady, and it frightened her because she was on the iPod. She couldn't even hear what's going on around her. What's that stuck in your ear? Keep that out of your ear. You can't hear God's voice for the stuff that's stuck in your ear. The TV always on. You know, some people never go in their house in silence. They come in, they turn the TV on. Then they put the iPad on. Then they got the boom box going. You know, all kind of gadgets. How can you hear the voice of God? Daniel and his friends, they stayed close to God, and they heard the voice of God. They did not, you know, do as the other young men around them. And, you know, sometimes we get in trouble when we don't listen to the voice of God. You know, I hear some people say, something told me don't go that way. Something, if it was the right thing to do, it was God who told you to go. Don't go that way. You know, I can imagine in 9/11, a lot of people probably had in their spirit, maybe I shouldn't go to work today. But you know, I got this report due. I got that report due. So they got up and went. But they didn't come back. Follow the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Sometimes it's God warning you. But how can he warn you if you're all glued to the TV, if you're all glued to the iPod, all glued to the boombox, all glued to the computer? How can you hear the voice of God if you're not dwelling in his presence, if you're not tuning your ear to his ear? And woo! You know what Job said? He said, I desire to hear God's voice more than my necessary food. I desire to hear the words of God more than my necessary food. Now, he ain't talking about just some treats. Necessary food? You know, if you don't eat after a few days or a few weeks, you're going to die. But he said he'll give up his food so he can hear the voice of God. How many of us are that committed that we want to hear the voice of God? Are we training our children in the way that they should go? Are we training them to hear the voice of God? What are we doing with our children? Do we just say, go look at TV, baby. Go do your homework, baby. Go in your room. I don't feel like being bothered today. How are we treating the gifts that God gave us? Our children are gifts. How are we allowing them to treat us? I saw a child one time talking to their parents so bad, I had to stop and talk to the parent. I said, don't you want your child to live a long time? If you allow your child to continue to talk to you like that, their life's going to be cut off. Because God said if you obey your parents, he'll give you long life. So guess what the opposite of that is? If you disobey them, put it together. Put it together. What's going to happen? So, you know, the scripture, talking about children, training them up in the way that they should go, God has a way for them to go. In Deuteronomy, the Lord said, teach them. Deuteronomy 5, read it. In the morning when they get up. Now, you know, of course, brushing their teeth is important, but hitting the knee on the floor is even more important. But I remember as a child, first thing, you get up, you get on your knees, and you say your prayers before God. Of course, we learn now, I lay me down to sleep. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But then We learn how to pray straight to the Father without memorized prayers. We learn how to establish a relationship, even as children. Children can be taught how to establish a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship, your life will change. Your children's lives will change. Your perspective on life will change. You know, so children need to know how to have a relationship with God. Don't neglect training them, even when they're teens. A lot of people, they give them a lot of attention when they're little. But when they get to be teens, and you say, well, what happened today at school? Nothing. Just let them get away with it. No. Make them start telling you what happened. Let me tell you, what happened in homeroom? What happened in first period? What happened in sixth period? What happened in the, you know, in the cafeteria? Get them to tell you. Not just say nothing. Oh, yeah, did you do your math today? Yeah, I did it. Well, what did you do? Did you do calculus? What did you do in math? Did you do trigonometry? Did you do algebra? What did you do in math? Tell me. Come on, show me. I need to see a problem that you did. You worked in math. Well, I forgot. Well, that's okay. Tomorrow when you come, you better know one. Make sure they're paying attention in class. Train them to pay attention. Every day when you come home, I want to know what you did in first period. I want to know what you did in second period. You know, and then show up. Be a surprise guest in the school. I don't quite care if they go to the best schools. Be a surprise guest. Show up. Say, I'm so-and-so's parent. I came to check on them. They're not any problems at, you know, at home, but how are they at school? I hear some parents say, oh, no, my child wouldn't do. You don't know what your child would do. What did you do behind your parents' back? What did you do? How did you behave? You know, we need to set rules for our children and enforce them from the youngest to the oldest. Now, this is the thing. We do set rules. A lot of us say, okay, don't go outside when it's dark. Be inside before dark. But do we enforce it? They come in later every day. Well, what happened? Or sometimes we just ignore it. Well, I just was going to see how long they you were going to do that. No, the first time they're not in when you say, check them right then. Don't let them get away with it. Let them know that you noticed they were not there when they were supposed to be. Enforce the rules. If you ever notice, now human beings are getting slapped concerning the rules of driving. You ever at a stop sign and you see some people, they look both ways, the light's red, but they drive right on through it as if the light was green. Even adults are not living integrous lives. They're not following the laws of the land. They walking, you know, there's a light that says stop. They walking fast, you know, walking. They don't care. Some people walk right in the middle of you while you're driving. In the middle of the traffic, you're driving. And you know what? We have to be careful. Everybody not alert. Some people don't see well, even though they're driving. Some people don't think well. Some people, you know, are sick on medication. They don't even see you. Got to be careful when we're in the traffic. Some people, you know, they jump right in front of you. They cut close in your lane. We got to pay attention. Teach your children to pay attention. Pay attention, close attention. And, you know, Daniel could have tried merely to survive different experiences that he went through. But we're going to be talking about those things in a minute. Now, you know, Daniel was strong. He followed his own diet that he, you know, knew that was good for him. His motives were good. He was honest. He was disciplined. Woo! Now, that's the word, discipline. Even as adults, we have to be disciplined. You know, a lot of times we don't feel like getting up, making up our beds in the morning. We just jump up, get our baths, and barely eat. You know, grabbing it would be great if we grabbed a piece of fruit, an apple, a banana. But, you know, we stop in the Burger King. Where are the nutrients in the food? Are we just eating to fill our stomachs? But Daniel knew the value of eating healthy. So teach your children the value of eating healthy. Now, Daniel and his friends, they were leaders. Are you training your children to be leaders, or are you letting them be followers? Of course, you know, we all got to follow. But are you training them to be leaders? Say, look, I don't care what your friends do. You better do the right thing. I don't care what they're doing in this group. You better do the right thing. Teach them to make wise choices. Daniel and his friends made wise choices. They had integrity. They lived lives of integrity. And they had convictions, as I said before. So, you know, they had good character. They didn't compromise. Now, I'm going to have somebody read for me. So look for Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse, 1. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. So when you get it, press 1. I'm going to call on you in a few minutes. Daniel chapter 6, I want you to press 1 on your phone. You can read Daniel chapter 6 for me. You know, Daniel, like I said, he was wise. And he didn't let those people around him influence him. He was committed to God, and so were his friends. And you know what? You have to teach your children to be committed to God. They can't just do any and everything. And in schools now, you know, they're celebrating evil holidays. They don't read the Bible anymore. But we are praying that the Bible, you know, when they took God out of schools, guess who came in? The enemy. When we took the Bible reading and prayer out of school, the enemy wreaked havoc. When I was in school, we read the Bible, we prayed. Even when we're in the cafeteria, before we ate, we gave glory to God and thanks for the meal that we ate every day. You could hear cotton drop when people were praying. Nowadays, people walking all around, you know, in schools, in the bathroom, instead of in the classroom. So check on your children in the school. Now, you know what? Daniel and his friends, they were different. They did the right thing. They didn't have to have nobody watching over them all the time. They were trained to be integrous children. And you know what? Watch your children and encourage them and make corrections in them when necessary. Nobody didn't press one yet. Y'all don't feel like reading today? Teach them to overcome their fears by doing what? Teach them to overcome their fears by doing. I'll never forget, I was fearful of dogs as a young child. Ooh, Lord, as soon as I saw a dog, I started hollering and pulling on my daddy. He stopped me right there. He said, let me tell you something. When you get afraid like that, you draw a dog to you because the chemicals in your body change. And so when the chemicals in your body change, that draws the dog to you and make them bite you. So he said, stand up and be strong. Don't flinch when you see a dog. They start coming towards you and say, get away from me right now, dog. That was a child. And, you know, a lot of people walk with sticks and stuff. I'll be walking down the street, a dog coming near me. I say, you better not try it. You better not come. Don't you know they turn around? My father taught me that as a child. I remember being afraid of, I love the water, but I got knocked in the pool as a child, so I was afraid. After that, never learned to swim till I was 35. You know, some people have car accidents. They never get back in the car again. But you know what? We got to face the fears. The only way we're going to overcome those is by doing. Whatever you're fearful of, if you're fearful of driving a car, get in it and start driving again. If you're fearful of water, go near it. It can be your friend, or it can be detrimental to you. You know, if you're afraid of dogs, you know, just listen. Take authority over that. Take authority over that. Of course, when I was a child, dogs were walking the street all the time. But nowadays, you know, a lot of them on leashes. If anything happens to you by somebody's dog, you know, they don't want nothing happening. Nobody press one. Y'all don't want Daniel 6 chapter today, huh? Y'all want me to read? No. Well, I tell you what, we're going to postpone it. Maybe another time y'all are willing to read Daniel 6 chapter 4. But I'll kind of summarize it for you. You know, sometimes your friends can, and your children's friends, they know what you stand for. They can plot against you. I'll never forget when I was in the third grade, this child across the street from me, I went to West Jacksonville Elementary School off of Commonwealth. And I will never forget this child's parents sold plants across the street. And she sold the plant to the teacher. And we went to lunch. And when we came back from lunch, the money that the teacher gave the child for the plant was in my speller. Now, who put it there? I don't have a clue. I know somebody put it there because the teacher didn't give it to me, but someone put it there. They were plotting against me. Why? I don't know. I was quiet, shy, didn't bother nobody. When the teacher said, be quiet, I followed the rules. I was not a problem in school, but there were certain people who didn't like me. Let me tell you, you let your children know, you don't have to do nothing for people not to like you. They were plotting against me. So Daniel's friends, you know, my mother had to come to the school. I was embarrassed. I didn't say, I never stole anything from anybody. My parents always taught me to do the right thing. But you know what? These children plotted against me. Now, Daniel, these weren't even his friends. They weren't his schoolmates. These were some people who didn't like Daniel because he stood for righteousness. And so they decided, okay, we're going to, you know, Daniel and his friends, you know, they're very wise and very smart. So they plotted and they made a law. They went to the king and they said, oh, great king, every day we want, you know, you to be worshipped every day. And so what they did was they plotted and they said, okay, we know Daniel, he's going to open that window 3 times a day and pray to his God. So they set up a, you know, they set up a plot against him. And so they made a decree, a law, that says you're not to worship any God other than this particular God, the king, that the king, you're to bow before the king every day. No other God did they want before this king. So Daniel and his friends, especially Daniel, Daniel said, okay, I'm not going to hide what I do. I've been doing this since I've been here, so I ain't going to hide. I'm going to let it still be known that I'm going to worship my God. Just like he said, okay, I want to eat this kind of food, he ate it, that kind of food. So Daniel opened up the windows just like he did, and you know what? They passed this law that anybody who was serving another God, they would be put in the lion's den. So they plotted. They knew Daniel was faithful to his God. He didn't care. Daniel was faithful to his God. He ain't compromised. He blended among the people, but he refused to bend. He served his God as usual, like he always did. He didn't hide the fact. And you know what? When the Spirit of God is upon you, you can't hide it anyway. You're in the wrong place. They say, what you doing here? You know you Miss Goody Two Shoes, Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You don't belong here with us. You don't belong with the drug addicts. You don't belong with the prostitutes. You don't belong in the club. You don't belong in this casino. You don't belong in gambling places. What you doing in here? So, you know, they knew Daniel was going to still praise his God. So, like usual, he opened up his window 3 times a day, and he prayed to his God out loud. He didn't even know out loud. And so they went before the king, and they said, you know what? Daniel broke your law. And, you know, the king was fond of Daniel. But because they tricked him into making that law, he had to enforce the law. But he knew God, Daniel's God was a great God. He knew Daniel's God was going to save him. So he went to Daniel and said, Daniel, what you doing? Breaking the law. And you know what? Daniel was respectful. He said, you know what? I got to do this. He said, but I know your God going to save you, Daniel. So he cast Daniel in the lion's den, and they put a stone in front of him. Now, he was angry with Daniel, yeah. Even though Daniel helped him, he was still angry with Daniel because Daniel refused to serve idol gods or to pray before him. So he was angry. Daniel broke my law. Ain't nobody going to break my law. You going to go in the lion's den. So he said, in the morning, I'll come get you. Go on in there. So Daniel went in the lion's den. They put a big old stone. He couldn't get out. He had no way of escape. But guess what? When he went in there, whoo, the Spirit of God was upon him. And not a lion opened his mouth against Daniel. Whoo, you know when the enemy come up against you like a fly? Guess what? God raised that standing up. You know, we serve a mighty God. How many of you been accused of all kind of things, even almost lost your job, all kind of situations happened in your life, but yet, you know, you held on to what you believed. And God came in and rescued you just at the right time. Maybe you had an attorney that God sent you, and the attorney won the case because the Almighty God is the attorney of all attorneys. He can fight your case. He's a good judge. He's a compassionate judge. Well, the next morning, the king raised. He couldn't hardly sleep all night, but he got up. And he went, they took the stone away, and he called, Daniel, did your God save you last night? Daniel was fine. He came out, he said, yes, he did. I thank God for the God that we serve. He's a mighty God. So, you know, he was faithful to Daniel, but don't you know that he'll be faithful to you when you do what God tells you to do, even when we don't do it, even when we're rebellious and stubborn. Don't you know God's still faithful to us? God shut the mouth of the lion. Now I'm talking about those creatures with, you ever been to the zoo and you seen the lions? Some things can roar and take your head off. But they did not touch Daniel. They were faithful because Daniel was faithful and his friends were faithful. So Daniel was the one who got thrown in the lion's den. King went God and he was fine. But guess what? Promotion came to Daniel. Read it. Daniel 6. Since y'all didn't want to read for me today, that's all right. Y'all kind of shy today, but that's okay. I could just tell you the story. But, you know, I could have made a mistake telling the story, so you read it. See if I made any mistakes in telling that story, what details I left out. Read the story of Daniel and the lion's den. I'm not perfect. You know, I just was telling the story. But you read it, Daniel 6, 1 through 28, and, you know, ask God to give you that boldness like Daniel, the strength, the courage, the wisdom. So I want to ask a question. You know, I shared something with you about some fears that I had, the fear of a dog. Anybody, well, now, you know, do y'all have anything you want to share about a fear and how you overcame a fear? Press 1. Come on, I need somebody talking back to me today. You had any fears of anything, and God made you overcome the fear because you stepped out in faith. I need somebody sharing. Press 1. Is anybody there listening to me? Press 1. Okay, nobody's pressing 1 today unless it's something I'm not doing. I don't see nobody pressing 1. Let me see if I can find just one person who wants to share with us today. One person. All right, I'll press 355-3938. You want to share something with us today? Hello? Hello?
Oh, hello,
no,
Carissa.
They don't. Yeah.
Carissa?
Yes?
This is Ella.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, and you? I just turned
into
you.
Well, you want to share something with us today? Maybe you had a fear of some type, Sister Ella?
I didn't get all of your message. I just cut in because I've been trying to get you otherwise. And,
uh-huh.
And I didn't get you. So
all right, I'm going to call you back later after
please.
I get off the show.
Okay, you do that.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Anybody else want to share? Come on, y'all. Don't be shy. Press one. Press one. Oh, come on, y'all. Press one. Nobody press one. Okay, well, I'm going to give a little short testimony. It's just about time to go. But I'll never forget, I was always afraid of heights. But, you know, my cousins, they used to jump off a house and jump off a tree. So, you know, I tried it once. I didn't break my neck. I didn't break a bone. But I did jump off the top of the house and the tree. I overcame that fear by doing that. All right, anybody need prayer today? Want to press one? Anybody need prayer? Prayer request, press one. Okay, nobody need prayer. Well, I thank God for you being on. I am going to pray a prayer from my pastor's book, Apostle Kimberly Daniel. The name of the book is Prayers That Bring Change. It's just about time to get off, but I'm going to do that prayer. Prayer for our seed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for salvation, healing, deliverance, and prosperity of our children. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we repent of our sins and iniquities of the past and the present that may work against our lives and the lives of our children in a negative fashion. We call out our children by name. Let every hidden and secret enemy operating behind the scenes in the lives of our children be under the spotlight of the Holy Ghost, uncovered forever. Father, we command every generational sin in our lives and the lives of our ancestors to disconnect from their heritage now in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children's navel in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, oh God, what you're doing in the lives of our children. Oh, great God, the blessings, not the curses, shall flow to our children. Every demonic umbilical cord is severed. All inheritances that are rebelliously flow through our bloodline is cut off forever. In the name of Jesus, all destiny devouring spirits are displaced by the destiny angel of the Lord. We walk in the authority of Jesus that Jesus has given us over our seed. We break the powers of peer pressure and ungodly association. Our children shall lead and not follow. They are not bound and influenced by the spirit of the world. Every vicious cycle that is ruling over the head of our children through association, incantation, or generational influence is destroyed by the whirlwind of the Lord. Self-inflicted curses through negative confession are broken. All negative words spoken over our children through ignorance or intention is erased. We cause the door that have illegitimately or legally made a way for demonic activity to operate in our children's lives be closed forever. All negative seeds that have been planted in our children's lives while they were sleeping are uprooted. The fallow grounds are broken up, and the seeds of the Lord displace them. Every entry point through a nightmare or dark vision through astral activity is closed continually. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children as they sleep at night. We command sweet sleep and divine rest upon our children. Incubus and succubus and all other forms of perversion are bound in Jesus' name. We take authority over the terrors that come by night and declare that as the sun rises, it shall shine favor upon our seed. The will of God has captured our children's days. They shall feel the call of the Lord and be blessed and be called blessed in Jesus' name. Princes, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places have no dominion over our children. The spiritual airways are prosperous over the heads of our children, and they shall live full lives. The statistics of our children, the statistics of the children of the world shall not overcome them, because they are the children of light. The countenances of our children shall shine above the children of the world. They shall not eat of the king's portion, but they shall continually be transformed into the image of Christ. Our children are in the world, but not of the world. The wealth of the wicked is finding its way to our children. The heathen shall be their inheritance. They shall possess the gates of their enemies and displace them. The God of the cosmos is bound and cannot prosper against our children. Our children can discern the difference between what is holy and what is common. They shall not be set up or deceived by cosmetic fetishes, people, places, or things with the demons attached. The borders are being extended for our children. They shall rise up and demand room to live. Rebellion, disobedience, and unbelief have no rule over our seed. We circumcise our children with a sharp knife, the word of the Lord, and pull them out of the way of the uncircumcised. Our children are healthy, wise, and in a place to receive from God. They shall speak over their seed the words we speak over them. Our children shall not be permanently taken out by sickness, disease, accidents, incidents, or cares of this world. They shall live long, prosperous lives and serve God eternally. This is the heritage of our seed for 1,000 generations. Let these words be programmed in the heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's closing time on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I thank God for each of you coming on this evening. You are a blessing to me, as always. And I thank God for you. If you would like to send a donation, a seed to Boys to Men or Girls to Ladies, or Bible Storyland, you can send a check or money order to Caritha Gantling, Zion Hope Academy, P.O. Box 2732. Jacksonville, Florida, 32203. I want you to know that I love each of you. God loves you so much more. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so we could be saved. Hallelujah. So I look forward to hearing from you this Saturday. Day after tomorrow, we'll be on Bible Storyland. So have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. Remember, obey God. Obey God. Study the word daily to be pleasing to God. All right. Talk to you all soon. Love you. Love you so much. God bless you.